In the darkness of the night, temperatures drop as your fear rises. The sounds of the unknown only grow louder and closer, and you feel your demise is at hand. You stop and turn and see the harmless dancing shadows in your wake. You let out a shaky breath, almost a laugh. It must have been your imagination. Suddenly you feel a cold wind whip around you, and the shadows whisper, "Phantasmagoria."
Would you gentlemen like to hear a story?
No.
Yes, I would.
A tale of old, of olden time?
Yeah. Yes. Always, Kevin. Why? Where do these questions stem from? Always.
So let's turn back the clock to Kevin's fourth grade year. Whenever somebody asks me what my most embarrassing moment is, this always comes to mind. I'm not sure if it is, but this is the first thing that comes to mind.
Okay. This must be pretty bad.
For things that affect us so deeply, it's kind of weird that we can't just like pull them out.
Pin
like in the moment, we're like, this is the worst day of my life. And then we can't pull the memory out later.
I know.
Like, it's kind of interesting that our brain doesn't lock that away, but anyway.
Well, mine locked this one away. So, I was the first class in the new portable classroom, like the classroom that exists outside the school.
I remember those.
Yeah, so I felt pretty special because I was one of the first classes in the brand new
portable. I was always glad I never got thrown out
Me
there.
Me too. I always wondered
to
if kids liked
in those
that.
Metal containers.
No, they had everything. They had everything you needed, and they were dope.
You had a kitchen.
Well, okay. What classroom had a freaking kitchen?
None of them.
You said everything. This is a funny podcast where I tell jokes, Kevin.
Oh.
Yeah, that one.
Oh, that was
so what you said was a joke.
No, this isn't our serious podcast.
Is
where
this
we don't
joke?
Tell jokes.
Where we don't. No.
So,
what you said was then.
Right.
Okay, well,
this is the joke podcast.
Sure.
Gotcha. We had to, the only thing that we didn't have, like every other classroom, were bathrooms. So we had to go to the school.
Outside.
We had to go into the school.
In the grass with the other dirty kids where they wouldn't let you in the building.
We had to go into the school and we had a bathroom break.
Kevin got lined up at a wall. In first grade, and they went 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, and shoved all the twos in this metal box. And Kevin was like, "Yeah, it was dope. Full class, everything."
Oh, it was
blocking out the horror.
It was so cool.
I felt like a king.
You're just trying to make me jealous that I wasn't in a metal box.
Is it working? Yeah, that's
it
what
shouldn't
I thought.
Be.
A little bit.
It should not be.
So we all went to the bathroom as a class, and we're all coming back, and as a fourth grader, whether or not anyone challenges you to a race, you are racing.
Right.
And
is that true?
So the second I come out the double
doors. I don't think it takes much in order for a race to break out is really the core.
See, what happened was is I got out of the bathroom and every dude I saw like walk out of the school building starts cooking to the portable. So I'm like, I will obviously do that as well. And I'm going
to
catch these guys. And so I come out of the school and I hit terminal velocity immediately.
Going sideways. Going going perpendicular to parallel
going
to
parallel
earth,
with
to the earth.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, there's a girl on the sidewalk in my lane. Tying her shoe.
Well, that's a party foul.
Well, this is a very immovable object meets unstoppable force, and not for the reasons you think.
That's exactly what happened. And
well, no, it's not for the terrestrial reason you think, because the only reason any kid has a desire to be fast at that age is because that's the one who gets the girls. The fastest boy in the class gets all the girls. So Kevin had to get the girls, but in turn, take out
Houston,
a girl.
Let me raise you one better.
One often
than being
meets
the fastest.
One often meets his destiny on the road he takes to avoid it.
Ashley's not going
to
like that
so
one.
So in order to avoid being single for the rest of your life, you raced very fast and ended up... Well, yeah.
So better. I'm cooking along and I'm like...
Ruined your chances.
I am going to hurdle this girl. And oh, it's going to look... stood up. And it's going to look so dope. And she did. She stood right up and her head... smacked me right where it counts.
Oh.
And we both face planted on the sidewalk.
Oh. From nuts to face to pavement?
That's exactly the order that happened.
Wow.
And so I
is
just...
That, is it, were your legs like... Were you in like a U shape? Like legs in the air sliding along?
A U shape?
like your face is on
oh,
pavement.
Oh, scorpion. Did you scorpion?
scorpion?
Dude, I don't know. All I know is... Scorpion. That whole moment was just a blur, and then I was face down on the concrete,
mm-hmm.
and I just laid there. I was like, I can't look anybody in the eye right now.
And can so, you imagine being clotheslined?
So
being clotheslined just out of the blue.
By a man's genitals. Or the I guess the other way around. I got mixed up who was hitting who there.
So several other girls come up to me and ask me if I'm okay because I'm not moving.
What about the girl?
And I'm not looking.
Is no one asking the girl?
She got up and she's like, oof, you know, ow, that kind of hurt, but I'm
chill. Oh, I thought she face planted too.
Yeah, and it like, oh. It wasn't.
I thought she was devastated.
I was a wee lad, Houston. I wasn't. I can only do so much damage. And so she got up and was kind of like, what the heck just happened? And was all like, oof. And the girls, you know, her friends kind of helped her up and they just kind of went on their way.
Mm-hmm. But these other girls, laying on the ground.
These other girls were like, are you okay? And I was
were you
like,
motionless, like stiff?
I was like, I'm okay. I'm not okay, but not in the way that you're asking.
Your pride was hurt.
My
manhood is hurt in two ways.
You weren't at a stage where that was gonna hurt that bad.
Physically and spiritually was my manhood hurt that day. And so I just laid there on the concrete for like, I don't know, 5 minutes until everybody got back to the classroom. Somehow, if nobody looked at me in that moment, I could enter the classroom and be okay. But it was it was just that moment had to pass before I could move a muscle.
There was a time in my early years at Bloomington Elementary.
Where this story took place.
I believe I was in fourth grade at the time. And there was a special needs boy that was a year older than me. He was bigger than me. He was a pretty big kid. But there was a thing I can't remember. I think I did it on purpose.
Oh, here we go.
Sam, you either know that or you don't. Go back. Just go jump back to Sam Brain.
I can't remember.
You would know. For all intents and purposes, this was on purpose for the audience.
I think that I did. There's a funny thing you can do where you kick their foot behind their other foot.
Oh,
I think
yes,
it may
course.
Have been that. But I also may have done it on accident. But I kicked his foot. He was just full sprint.
Oof.
And he was pretty high functioning. This wasn't like pick on the special needs kid. It wasn't that. It wasn't like, hey, special needs. It was just one of those moments as a kid where it's like, this idea just popped into my mind, and I'm doing it.
I can't believe what I'm hearing right
dude,
now,
dude.
My friend, one of my best friends
there
is
was
a bully.
Just no, there was
to
no
special
thought,
needs kids,
dude.
No thought past it.
I had the same type of experience. It wasn't a special needs kid, but I was like a fifth grader. And I freaking tripped up this first grader. That's the only time I've ever done anything like it in my whole life. And I just... And in fact, so what happened... Like, long story short, the kid was in full sprint running to his bus. And I had a basketball. And I just chucked it. And I wanted to throw it in between his legs to trip him up.
Right.
And I did it. And he tripped and fell on the floor. And I couldn't believe it happened. And right as he did it, I was like... I started apologizing to him. I was like, dude... I don't know why I just did that. I'm so sorry.
See,
I did it.
I feel like
it was
I would
like
do stuff like that.
Satan or... just entered my... He just took over.
Kids do stuff like that, and then you ask them why they did it. Like, why did you do that? And it's like,
I
wanted to see what would happen.
I only have one experience like that.
And I tripped. Well, I tripped the kid. He landed hard, and I was like,
"Oh,
just same thing.
Just kill me.
Instant regret. Instant. Like I wish I could go back in time." Because that was awful.
Yeah.
That was an awful thing that I just
Especially,
did.
Especially, well, if he's high functioning, like, that's better, but still, that's rough.
And I think he got up, he just shook it out. I don't even think he looked at me. He just got up and kept booking it.
I have one experience where I've done something as a kid.
I have remembered that up to this day. I still remember funny, the bad dude. Feeling that I felt after I
took it. Oh, yeah.
I don't even remember if it was on purpose.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I hope it wasn't. How do you do that on accident, Sam? Yeah, that takes some high level accuracy.
I think it's what you said. Like, it's just like something like just possesses you in that moment. I only have one experience like that. I was at a young men's camp. This is before I had met you guys. I was young. I was like 9, I want to say. And we
4th grade.
What was it called? It was the like fire something. I know you guys experienced this. Like all the scout troops in the city would come and camp in one area.
Never.
Nope.
And like just it was just like outside of town. And like it was a big field.
Never
everyone
heard of
would
this.
Set up camps. It had like a name. Everyone did it.
It was overnight?
Yeah.
Oh, I have no idea.
Never heard of it.
And it was just rows of tents and like trucks parked and adults and nothing? Nope. Okay. Well,
not a big camper.
It was like a powwow type thing, but not anyway, a big scout. We go and we're having like one of the nights over the weekend. They're doing like a big fire and like all the scout troops come together. And they're doing like these skits that were like everyone had planned. Everyone had like gotten together as a group and done these. And so I'm sitting there.
Some of those would have to be painful to watch.
Well, I was a kid too. I was like 9, 10 years old.
I've seen scout skits before.
Yeah, for sure. But there was that type. And it was like, I didn't know any of these kids. I knew my group. That was it. Yeah. It was just one of those kinds of things. And so one group goes and they finish. And everyone's clapping, everyone's cheering. And then the moment everything dies, out loud, I was like, that was really stupid. Literally, the words left my mouth. And I was like, I don't even remember, like, in that moment, like, I just wasn't, my mind was somewhere else. I had a strong imagination as a kid. I don't even remember
as
what they-
As a kid?
Sure, now too, but I don't know. I don't remember what their skit was. I have no idea. But I had my leader looked at me like, you freaking idiot. I can't believe you just said that. And he literally like, he was like wide eyed and he was like, we're talking later. And I told him like, I don't know why I said that. I'm really sorry. And he
Your
was like,
leader's like, you're really stupid.
He was like, he was like, that was not cool, man. And I don't even remember. I don't know how the announcer, the guy with the mic, like introducing each group. I don't know how he recovered from that because everyone, there was like 40, 50 kids.
Okay. Kids.
Everyone was like, did he really just say that? And I was like, I guess crickets. I did. That's the only thing I've ever done where I like had that blackout moment and was like, why? Why would I ever say any? Anyway, it haunts me to this day too.
Send us your devil possession stories,
but not your actual devil possession stories. Yeah, I don't want that.
Let's come up with a more mild name.
I'd low key be way down to read some of those. So
I would not.
Go ahead and send them on in.
Oh, you mean the fake ones, the low key ones?
The low key ones, yeah. I don't want real possession. I want the times that you were kind of possessed and did something really stupid that you didn't want to do, but you realized that after you did it.
That's what they're called.
And let me even things out real fast, just so that the rumor doesn't get around that Phantasma's a bunch of special needs beaters. I was door dashing 2 days ago.
I very much hope nobody is under that impression from that story.
I have nothing to say.
Let me tell this. I kind of wanted to share this anyway. I know this intro is already way freaking long, but this is cool. I was door dashing 2 days ago. I had a joint order. So I get both of them. They're right next to each other. And I go to the first guy's house, special needs kid, just waiting out front. So I come out and I'm like, hey, buddy, got your food for you. And I handed it to him. And he was like, oh, is there no drink? And I was like, oh, I didn't have a drink on it. And I showed him my app and he was like, oh, and he showed me his and he had a drink. And I was like, oh, well, I have another thing of food in the car. Let me go drop that off. And then I'll come back in like 15 minutes. Like I'll be right back. And he's like, okay, sounds good. So I go drop off the other food, go back to this place, and they're like, we didn't get the drink. Like, we don't know what you're talking about, and we can't just give you a drink. So I was like, fuh. So I go to the nearest gas station, because they sell those giant, you know, those like larges that are like
right.
giant. I go
large.
In there and fill one up because they're really cheap too. And the lady, this old lady working there, her name was Karen. And she was just chatty and happy. And it was the first happy Karen I've ever met in my life. And
I've never met a mean Karen.
Ooh. I don't think I've ever really met a lot of Karens.
Sorry, that was loud.
But you know what I mean.
So we're not, what she's trying to say is, we're not special needs haters, but we are Karen haters.
We're not
Karen
haters.
Oh, for sure.
100%. Karen, I don't hate you.
I do.
Good, Sam.
Except this Karen. So I'm filling it up, and she's just like, what are you up to? So I told her what I was doing, and she was like, oh, that's really cool. Take it. I was like, no, it's a dollar. It's no big deal. And she's like, just, you're good. Get out of here. I was like, deal. So I just left and brought the kid his drink, and he was all ecstatic.
And Houston went home with a free drink.
I did. I've been using that line all over town, getting food. I did think like to myself when I got to the restaurant, they're like, we can't give you a drink. Because I didn't explain to him like what the situation was. I told him it was a customer, but I didn't like say... Like, it was a special needs kid.
Did you tell the gas station lady it was a special needs kid?
Well, she asked what I was up to, and I was like, I just told her the story of what I was doing.
So Houston,
because I came with a DoorDash mask on. She's like, are you picking up food?
Told
I was
her
like, no, but I'm doing this.
He was up to.
But I had a thought as I was leaving the restaurant. When they told me I couldn't have the drink, I was like, I have to figure this out, because like, I don't know how in control this kid is. He could be at the window waiting for me for hours. Hours. If I don't bring this, even if there's no hell, I'm going to actual hell. I'll be sent there. They will make it for me. And that's my story.
I think I may...
I'll meet you there, buddy.
Yeah. Oh, I don't... Never
mind. I already have my ticket.
Yeah. Sam kicked paid. That kid over. His hand was ablaze, and there was just a ticket in his hand.
I've paid in full.
I think I may be different. I'm not saying that.
You just like, did.
I'm not saying that.
Who is
question
Kevin?
Asker?
Who is?
Chicago 101 is.
Ooh.
I'm not saying I'm paranormal or have superpowers or anything like that. I'm gonna kind of.
But that's what I'm going to say. I'm gonna start this by saying I'm not paranormal or have superpowers. But what I'm about to tell you is gonna imply I have superpowers.
Strongly.
They always do that. I'm not actually telepathic, but I've been moving stuff with my mind. Someone help? Question mark?
I don't Always. Believe in that sort of thing. I just think I might have a higher perception than most.
Yep.
I want to know if other people can relate. When I was in middle school, I would be able to tell people things about themselves that they had never told me or anyone else.
I'm not a superhero or anything, but I can perceive stuff, and I've solved a lot of crimes doing that. Does anyone have any kind of explanation for me?
You are the murderer.
Ooh.
He's like, you got me.
That was a really good Homer Simpson yelp, and I don't think you intended for it to be. Did you?
Ditto. It started off as a joke, really. I remember all of my friends were on the playground together, and I asked my friend why she liked another boy so much. She had never told anyone.
Oh.
Looking back, that was pretty obvious. Anyone paying close enough attention to her could have noticed.
Couldn't have been my psychic abilities.
As I got older, however.
So he's just explained away his... He's like, help me, I don't understand this. I have
Exhibit A.
I have seen obvious evidence of something and then pointed that obvious fact out.
Exhibit A, colon, insert Exhibit A. But this isn't, this is nothing. Exhibit B. As I got older, however, I began to be able to read someone's walk, even feel their energy. Walk is in quotations. I don't know why.
I don't know what that, yeah. You know. You know what I actually mean by that.
Walk.
I don't know what you, anything.
Are we talking W-O-K?
That means even less. I don't know what you're saying either.
Smell what they're cooking.
Read their walk.
Smell. Oh, W-O-K.
Yeah.
I put an L in there and I was like, that's not a word, Wolk? I don't think.
Wolk.
For example, one day I turned to a friend and explained to her, I think something is wrong with me. I know people's secrets before they want me to. She laughed at me and thought I wasn't being serious, but when I didn't laugh back, she asked me why I thought so. And I explained the park incident and one other case. She looked at me funny and said, "Fine, do me then." I took her hand and immediately felt dark energy, quote
this
unquote.
This has m'lady energy. He's like, "As you wish, m'lady." Took her hand, tipped his fedora. He's like, "Look deep into my hat and you will see your future."
And I knew something bad had happened to her. And that gets a little dark. Yeah. So that's Exhibit B. Is he basically kind of reads her secret. The word
is it a good reading?
What does he say her reaction is to him reading her secret?
She started crying.
Ooh.
No one. Nope. Fake.
Houston, that evidence is damning. A crying woman.
Houston,
you're wrong.
You don't cry unless they. We yelled at
Kevin. Wait. Last episode, we yelled at Kevin for like an hour.
We did.
For saying that the facts written in the story are wrong.
Sam, can I ask you a question? Have you had really hard things happen to you in your life? Things that have made you emotional?
Yes, and if somebody were to walk up and spell those out exactly, I would be shocked.
You would be shocked. If I brought them up and talked to you about them right now, are you in a position where you would start sobbing uncontrollably?
How specifically, though? Because
you know probably all of them. But if some rando, if somebody in my class was like, "Hey, I've talked to you 3 times. Some wacky's going on.
I can't say.
You killed your sister when you were 4. Maybe you'd be like.
You'd be shocked.
I'm not going to read this kid's evaluation.
Okay.
But I am going to say that it was about as vague as if I were to say, "Sam, have you had family troubles in the past?" And you start crying.
Okay.
So
but that's, I don't think a human does that.
Maybe a little more specific, but not by much.
I don't think the average human does that. Unless you're already in an emotional position, you could maybe if something like that happened. But if you were just like, "I'm just hanging out with my friend sitting here talking about his fedora and he brings up the guy I killed when I was 3, like that's not gonna bring me to the verge of tears.
Kevin.
The word got around one way or another, and I got teased a lot at school. Some kids, however, were curious.
You psychic idiot!
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Just look at this loser telling the future. I almost said a bad word.
Some kids, however, were curious and came up to me and asked what I thought about them. I remember one kid asking me what I thought. I remember being close to him, and so as a half joke,
I manipulated him intellectually.
I said, "I think you're adopted." I unintentionally hurting him. Eventually, he ended up confronting his parents, only to find out he was adopted.
No way, dude.
Okay.
That's nuts.
No!
This is so,
I am
this can't be
eating
real.
It this can't be real. Up, dude.
Sam, I'm gonna
more. Are there more?
Oh, there's more. Eventually, okay. Wait.
Where does this kid live? How do I get a reading?
At first, I thought this was coincidence. I had a 50-50 shot, pretty much. Then it escalated, Sam.
As it does.
It escalated.
I turned it up to 10, baby.
Can I give you a quick POV? Quick POV. You, Sam, have been. You're like
a point of view.
Yeah. Put yourself in their shoes type of a thing.
Okay.
You're in a scenario where you have been, or let's say you're the bully, as you're familiar with. Let's say you're bullying a kid. Bruh.
Okay. How about I'm, we'll say tripping a special needs kid.
Sure. Let's say. We're not doing that because that doesn't help the story. You're bullying a kid about thinking he's psychic. You're like, "This is stupid. That's a dumb thing." The kid says to you,
"I would never do that because he will destroy me with his mind."
He says to you, "Yeah, well, you're adopted." You, as a what sixth, seventh grader making fun of him, aren't going to be like, "Oh my gosh, he read me. I better go home and talk to my family."
Kids are kids,
Mom,
dude.
Kids are kids,
but when you're making fun of someone for something, you're not going to take what they're saying with a grain of salt.
I can see it.
There's
you're
no
like,
way.
You can see the future, and he's like, "You're adopted."
Dude.
And then he's like,
Oh, dude.
Oh my gosh.
No, Sam, let me tell you something.
I
literally just had a job working at a middle school. The amount of times you hear the phrase
you're adopted
is you can't count them on your hands. And that's every day.
I'm glad nothing's really changed.
If every kid like it doesn't not one of those kids is going home to their parents and being like, "Hey, so-and-so said I was adopted, so just wanted to confirm with you guys."
Yeah, but if he has proof that he's a psychic...
He doesn't have any proof. They're just rumors.
No one has proof.
That's why he's getting teased.
He has proof.
Something like psychic, you cannot prove unless it is a very controlled environment, because you could always wonder, like, what if so-and-so talked to so-and-so? You could only experience it firsthand.
Okay, it goes on. I was able to tell how... this is after it escalated. I was able to tell people their greatest weaknesses and how submissive they were within a 4-minute conversation, whatever that means.
I kind of said it as a joke, but this literally does have like the strongest neckbeard energy of anything we've read.
I was able to tell which parent they liked more and if they were going through a breakup or even if they had a crush and at times who.
Everyone has a crush, moron. Are you?
Oh, now we're calling him names.
Ding ding!
Now we're name calling.
Psychic information.
You've been on this kid's corner all night. You just swap sides.
You've got a crush on somebody, and they're like, "No,
how did you know that?
I don't. Is it her? No.
You know what, though? That's how.
It's her.
How did you know?
I got
that?
It.
To this kid's credit, depending
on
the age of this,
I got it. I nailed that.
even if you were like, "Is it her?" And they're like, literally, no, like, it's not.
Oh,
at
it's
all.
Totally
and
her.
And it wasn't. You'd still pop onto Reddit and be like, "I knew who he liked."
I totally guessed it.
Dude, but it depends on the age. I remember when I was in element, I have a vivid memory. I was with these two girls at recess, and I was like, just out of the blue, I turned to them. I was like, "I invented a language." And they were like, "No, you didn't." And I started just gibberish talking, and they were like, "Oh my gosh, he knows a language." And I, what makes me connect it to that is if he said that as like a, like let's say it's just a kid who's like, "Oh, being psychic would be cool." And then he's like, "Hey, I bet I know who you like. I know that you like somebody in this class." And the kid reacted in like a, I could see a younger kid being like, "Oh my gosh, maybe I actually am psychic." because it's a positive reinforcement
of
this idea.
I've got one more paragraph. At this point, many kids came up to me. I had never met most of them, but
they made me their king, their guru.
But 88% of the time, I could read into their lives. 88%.
That's a good number. A specific.
That's high.
Number.
Just by watching them walk or touching them, I saw their energy and saw it in motion when they walked. I can now see certain things about strangers on the street, their greatest fear, if they are happy in their marriage, what they do, how submissive they are. Is this weird, or does everyone experience this?
Every time I watch an anime, I know which girls would date me in real life because of my psychic powers. If they were real, they would be mine.
Yeah, so that freaking, we're like halfway done with the episode. We've done one story.
What?
Is there any question to be asked?
We have no time to freaking discuss this.
Oh my gosh,
this story.
I'm moving on. I am a beginner witch with needs. Who needs some help regarding
we all have needs.
Anti-witch parents? I want to be one, but my parents are extremely anti-witchcraft, so I am trying to create an altar area without them realizing it. I know I can't include pentacles or pentagrams, and as a baby witch, I want to consume knowledge from books on the subject, but if I brought one home, my mom would be upset. I don't know what to do, so any help would be awesome.
Houston, where do you get your material?
I put in effort, Kevin. I put some elbow grease into this.
Magic.com?
Can I give you some advice, Mr. or Mrs. Question Asker? You don't want to be a witch.
I think they have already decided they definitely
do. Okay, overruled. She does.
She just said, "I want to." Well, there is actually a sentence in here where she says, "I want to be a witch."
I am stumped. Because I was under the impression that witch equals bad.
No, you can be a good witch.
Like
Glenda, the good witch.
You're right.
I'm right. You do have to spec into bubble the bubble tree of magic, though, and that's like your only thing.
That's cool. That's, I mean, that's still cool.
I like. Yeah.
You may have to read the question again. That
if I can fly in a
she
bubble.
She wants to be a witch. Her parents say no. What tips do we have for her?
Her parents said no?
Her parents are very anti-witch, Kevin. She has to hide the books and the spells.
Okay.
What advice would you give to someone who would like to be a witch but has a household that is frowning upon that behavior?
My advice.
Oh, that, okay. I was trying to remember what you had said in the story, and I remember the word pentacle.
They did say pentacle. I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's a mistake.
I really want to know what that is because it rhymes with tentacle.
I bet it's similar to a pentagram. I think that you should wait. If you're in this situation, I think that you wait until you are in a place that you... I feel like such a big decision like this shouldn't be made until you are in a place in your life that you are taking care of yourself, that you are able to manage big life decisions like opening that box that you may never be able to close again.
Seems to me like Sam's a frequent user of this sub because that is the answer on like every single comment. They're like, prioritize your relationship with your parents and witch stuff later, but definitely like you can do some minor things and still get really into it.
Dude, no, let me tell you something. Can I tell you guys a secret?
I'm open to secrets, yes.
Well, is it going to be, you're about to say it to actually hundreds of people.
Did you know that a kid that age pretty much, they still do whatever they want?
Yeah.
So
if you're in the household.
So what's, do witch stuff?
Well, she is at a point where she's like,
at home.
I'm going to do it. How do I do it without parents knowing about it?
You're seriously asking the internet.
I'm not. This person
is. I'm just appalled.
Why would you approach the internet with this question?
I didn't. I couldn't be a witch. I'm a boy. I could be a wizard. You idiot.
I'm the idiot.
Okay. You know
there
what?
Okay.
You know what? I've been too hard on this witch. Okay. There are some things that you would inquire the internet how to hide from your parents. But I just can't see witchcraft being one of them. Go out and freaking find your nearest witch community because they're out there, and you're probably near one. And you go.
Aren't we all?
You meet up with them.
So you find your coven.
I'm not gonna tell. Okay, I'm not gonna tell. I'm not gonna give advice on this podcast and say, here's how you do it. Here's how you lie to your parents, deceive them, and make a terrible choice.
No, I'm not either. So I went with the responsible thing rather than go do it on your own anyway, despite your parents' wishes.
Danish Pete says...
The responsible... That's... Sorry. I am so sorry I interrupted Danish Pete.
What does he say?
You could build an altar in your imagination and perhaps even a temple. And then he sends a link.
Oh my gosh. Give me the link, please.
The link is to medium.com. Witchcraft, how to create an astral temple. The astral temple is a place created through meditation and astral projection. Astral projection is not needed in order to create or use an astral temple. Despite being called an astral temple, it is more actually an etheric plane than an astral plane.
Wait.
Okay.
It's in the ethereal plane,
astral,
not the astral
projection
plane.
Is when you like are laying down or whatever, and then you're like...
You can see your own body.
You have this out-of-body experience,
yeah.
Right?
So, it's really ethereal.
So there, this tactic is basically pretend like you're asleep. So her parents would come in, see her and go, oh, she must be sleeping. Meanwhile, she's in the temple doing witchcraft.
No, she doesn't have to be there.
An astral
Why?
Temple is a place between worlds. This environment can be completely controlled by the practitioner and can be a place where practitioners can do magical workings. Many practitioners use their astral temple for invocation, thought form creation, journeys, summoning spirits, and much, much more.
That sounds too convenient.
That doesn't sound like witchcraft. That just sounds like you're a god.
I don't know why you'd ever build one at home.
This sounds like a child using their imagination.
I could build.
Yeah, he's like,
I can build anything in my mind.
He's like, build a temple where you can do anything. I just put
a rubber ducky in a castle.
That beats the crap out of witchcraft.
Astral temples are designed and built by the petitioner. It can look any way he or she would like it to. Astral temples are actually created a lot like thought form, where we build it from intense visualization, intent, will, and programmed energy. You can make it whatever you want. I could make it a Taco Bell.
It's like Minecraft in your mind.
Danish Pete just freaking, he just gave the solve all. That, you think that's the answer to that question? The answer to every question.
You can do anything.
Here's what you do. Go to your astral temple.
You've got a problem?
I said that with a straight face and I didn't laugh. This show's ruining me.
you got a problem in your life? Go to your astral temple and do whatever you want.
The landscape can be anything
like
you want.
It's like virtual reality. It's like this. It's like Second Life. It's like freaking...
Sorry, what did you just say?
The landscape can be anything you want.
Oh, I was busy building.
Were you in your...
Crafting.
What happens if you run out of material? How do you farm materials for your astral temple?
It's all in there,
dude. How long does it take to build an astral temple?
He doesn't get into
that. I just
created
one, Kevin.
You could make it a forest, an ocean, a swamp, or even space itself.
Wait. It actually takes seconds? Sam's an astral world.
Oh, here it is.
Wait, but Sam, please stay with us.
Oh, before you drift off into space.
I need you to explain what the process is in building an astral temple.
What does yours look like?
Oh, he's gone.
He's building it right now.
It's a castle.
It's a castle? Okay. What's in your cat? Is it empty?
No, I want to know how you built it. You said it takes a few seconds. What happened in those seconds?
It's an astral thing.
It's like intense visualization.
You literally just looked at it.
You imagine it.
Okay. And how long did it take you to do that?
Mere seconds.
Sam, there is someone listening to this who believes in astral projection, and you are just spitting on their face.
He just built one. He's joined the community.
No, he called it imagination. It's not imagination. It's on a plane. He's gone.
He's there right now. He's probably rendezvousing.
He's gone again.
He's probably throwing a housewarming party for himself.
You got to do it quick, though. The astral plane isn't infinite. You got to pick up real estate while it's hot.
Is the astral plane...
I just had some Harry Potter wizards from that world. Flying around on broomsticks around the castle.
Is the astral plane shared? Like, is it just its own plane, or does everybody think it's an individual plane?
The astral plane.
So when you tap into where Sam is now. Oh, he's back.
One second, I'm building mine. It's a treehouse growing through Sam's.
You're talking.
Castle.
You're
okay. Literally talking.
What an idiot!
I just built it.
What a dumb, stupid moron over here.
It.
Nope, you liar.
It's built. I'm sorry. There's a giant tree sticking out of Sam's castle. Sam can go and check it. It's there. Oh, he's checking.
It wasn't there.
What the frick did I do? I definitely built a treehouse.
You did it while you were talking, so it was probably...
I have a strong...
That's probably just like your imagination
connection.
Or something.
Really fast. So the audience knows that everything Sam just did is bull honky. All that really matters... Oh, wait.
We don't say that word on this podcast.
Once you have the landscape, begin building your temple through envisioning it being built brick by brick from the foundation to the top. One at a time. He's gone again. Well, that's a lot of bricks to stack. I mean,
Sam's under some serious construction.
I was building a stable for my horses.
Give him a break.
See yourself building the astral temple, adding all of the meticulous details.
I have to add myself to the equation too?
You're supposed to be there.
I have to see myself seeing myself build this thing?
You have to see yourself...
You
if
just
you're
added
seeing yourself
in four
doing
extra...
it, you're clearly not doing it right. Because it should be from your eyes. You should be experiencing it first person.
Right.
Yeah.
But this just said you must see yourself doing it.
Oh, you're right. So maybe it is third person. Seeing yourself.
So, no, you just have to see yourself you have to see yourself building a stable. You added like four extra ones for I don't know why.
It was building itself. Maybe I'm already magic.
Allow everything to become tangible and for you to fully immerse yourself in this world you're creating for yourself. Create everything you had in mind and in your blueprint that you had wanted back in preparation. Remember to use strong visualization, intent, and will to forge your astral temple from the energetic building blocks of the etheric plane. When you are done, slowly back out of the meditation. open your eyes and undo your circle. Your eyes have been open this whole frickin' time. You didn't even do it right.
He's faking. You faker.
Remember, you can go back whenever you want just by entering a meditative state and willing to be there. It's a space that exists within the mental and spiritual realms.
Who are you to tell me how I am? Visit
in dreams.
Who are you to tell me how I enter my meditative state?
Danish Pete, nice to meet you.
Do you have a story for us, Sam?
Yeah. Bizarre.
We're
back.
We have to have a better flow. You have to come up with a voice and character that
What do you want? You want an outro to the first half of the podcast?
I've got it. Let me give it a try.
Okay.
Bizarre.
It's something.
Good evening, everybody, or morning or afternoon or whatever. It doesn't matter. We are Graveyard Tales. Now, if you like ghost stories, hauntings, cryptid encounters, and the weird history behind them, then you should join us in the graveyard.
You can find us on any of your favorite podcast providers. Check out our website at graveyardpodcast.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and on Twitter at GRV. Just go search Graveyard Tales.
That would be easier. Now, we hope to see you in the graveyard.
Now we're back.
Okay. Sorry. Welcome back.
Well, because
I ruined it. I ruined the intro.
Yeah, you did.
Sorry.
Welcome back to
Phantasmagoria.
Phantasmagoria, where
the podcast that is exorcism for your ears. I'm Kevin.
I'm Sam.
And I guess Houston's not here.
I recently
was fixing my gym shorts. They were riding up.
And he can't talk. He's so focused when he does that he can't talk.
It's one of the only times Houston is speechless. You think other things are occupying your mind?
I recently listened back to the first episode.
The very first?
Oh, gosh.
The very first. I didn't listen to the whole thing. I listened to just a few minutes.
From cringy beginnings?
And it's actually not as bad as I thought that it would be.
Oh.
And Kevin, in introducing the show, said something that I loved.
What was it?
It was good.
He said, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Welcome to Phantasmagoria, the show where we split your sides and chill your bones. And I was like, oh my gosh.
Dude.
It's not bad.
Amazing.
It's not bad.
Dude. Go me. Go past me.
The what's shocking to me when I think back on those episodes is, like, I remember we were really hesitant to start posting. It's a little behind the scenes thing for you. And when we started posting, we were like, we felt like our quality had increased a lot. And I think it was because of the pressure of, like, people finally seeing it. Because we did a few practice runs.
We did practice runs for like a year.
Yeah.
Oof.
And when we look back,
this is like our fourth podcast.
That's from cringy beginnings.
When I see how cringy those first couple episodes
were. And your listener will never hear them.
No, ever. They're gone forever. When I see those early episodes and I think, man, this is cringy. The fact that we were impressed with our quality jump to that point, I could never.
It's not bad.
It's not the worst.
It's not bad.
Modern day Phantasma. The golden age, as people have been calling it on the forums.
The forums.
But anyway, that was a little side tangent. Is there anything different between a tangent and a side tangent?
It was just a tangent. The side tangent is a tangent to the tangent.
They're way out there. Yeah. Tangents are like out here, and side
like foul ball, not left field, but foul ball.
Yeah.
Like.
Okay.
That was a side tangent.
Welcome to
Houston. No more.
Spookbuster video.
I'm ascending.
Spookbuster video.
Oh.
Oh,
what? You're stealing my bit? I don't care. Do it.
I've done it before.
Have you?
Yes.
Oh.
When?
Multiple times.
Can I teach STCC?
Mummy's alive. Have we heard of this show?
I haven't.
Mummy's Alive?
Mummy's Alive! Exclamation point. Nothing? Is a Canadian-American animated series. It originally aired for one season in 1997.
Series?
This is good. The show was part of a general trend of mummy mania in 1990s pop culture.
Oh, you know.
That's a freaking term right there. Oh, you know. That.
I mean, you can talk to your grandparents, your parents, your uncles, your aunts, and all of them remember Mummy Mania of 1997.
What era you? What era were you born in? Oh, the area of Mummy Mania.
I was born in 1996.
I too was. No, wait. I was born in 97. You,
Kevin, was born in the thick of it.
I was born in Mummy Mania.
Kevin doesn't like to talk about this amongst friends, but he is very much a result of Mummy Mania.
And,
his parents got really
and. Furthermore, I know now knowing that Mummy Mania exists and it was in 1997, I demand that I be mummified after I pass from this earth.
I will not be taken aback if you feel the need to call me a mummy maniac anytime.
I won't.
Anytime.
Would you be upset if I don't call you
feel
that?
Feel free. No.
Feel okay. free?
Most people don't.
Okay.
But I just don't want people who feel like that might be offensive
to
me.
You say most people. Who does?
Oh, if you select.
The barber, the banker,
right.
The baker.
Right. Okay.
All of them.
My mailman. Actually, he was the first.
Mail mania.
And he just spread it like a
My dog walker was actually over when my mailman came. And called me that, and that spread to my dog walker. And then all my other friends who own dogs, my mailman...
Houston, why did you ask this
question? I don't know what he's doing.
This is your fault.
No, you interrupted. I was going to let him go for hours.
Why would we do that?
Because I wanted to see how it ended.
It's just good audio.
Do you want a good podcast or do you want a bad podcast?
That's why I was headed in that direction. It's just good audio. It's what they want.
Clearly you haven't been broadcasting long enough, Kevin.
They're 40 minutes into this episode. That's why they have listened for 40 minutes already.
I've been waiting for Sam's mummy mailman fan fiction.
Mummy maniac. I lost it. Hold up. We got the plot. In ancient Egypt, an evil sorcerer named Scarab kills the pharaoh's son. Party foul. Prince Rapsis.
Rapsis? Is that just a typo? It's Ramses.
It's Rapsis.
Okay. All right.
Prince Rapsis to become immortal.
She's spitting fire.
Oh, because rap, like mummy.
Mm-hmm.
And tombed alive for his crime, Rapsis' body also never found. Scarab revives in the modern world and begins to search for Rapsis' reincarnation. A San Francisco-dwelling boy named Presley Carnovan to retrieve the spirit of Rapsis so he can become immortal. Rapsis' bodyguards, Presley now, Jekal, Wrath, Armon, and Nefertina, along with Rapsis' cat, Kati, awake from the dead to protect him from Scarab.
The man named his cat Cat.
Catty. Yikes. They use the power of Ra to transform into powerful guardians. Each of the mummies is aligned with the power of an Egyptian god. Jekal uses the spirit of Falcon. Wrath uses the spirit of Snake.
Forgot it's a TV show. Literally thought Sam was talking about history.
Armin uses
until he started talking about the power of the Falcon.
This is history, Houston. 1997. Armin uses the spirit of Ram. Nefertina uses the spirit of Cat. They are all able to call upon it for magical armor and powers to fight superhuman evildoers.
These are mummies. All mummies.
Defenders.
What?
Although once their strength is exhausted, they must rest in their sarcophagi to regain the ability. In order to access these powers, the mummies call out the phrase, "With the strength of Ra," which triggers their transformation, which I would very much like to see. The mummies also have power to make a horrifying face, usually used to scare away nosy bystanders. What are you doing here? Then they're running away.
Why did you do that?
I just wanted to give you a little... visual.
Reenactment.
In addition to Scarab, the mummies often had to contend with gods and spirits from Egyptian myth summoned to modern world, including Anubis, Set, Geb, Apep, Bast, Sekhmet, Bes, and many others.
You're telling me that these chumps.
How?
These chumps.
They're guardians.
Sam.
Guardians.
They took on Anubis. The god of the underworld.
Yes. They kill him. As many others usually... And many others usually as part of one of Scarab's schemes that went out of his control. Let me run you through a couple of these people. Presley, he's 12
years old. Okay, you didn't tell me one of them was a hot girl mummy.
I didn't see a picture of them.
I'm looking at one right now.
I want to see a hot girl mummy. That's...
Mm-hmm.
No.
Does that do anything for you?
No, it doesn't.
Wait.
The Ram guy's dope.
No.
The Ram guy's creepy.
Let me see.
He's got a Joker mouth.
Yeah, but he'd bowl you right over.
She's actually not that hot. It's just a girl with bandages on her face. You can't even see her.
She's hot.
I don't want people looking. I don't want people looking her up and being like, "Oh, this is Houston's flavor." It's not.
It's mine. It's Kevin's.
He has to say that. I want you guys to know.
Now I do.
A 12-year-old boy. Oh, this is Presley, the main character. 12-year-old boy who has the spirit of Ramses. The 12th, an ancient pharaoh who was based on Ramses. Oh, well, there you go. Based on Ramses, Prince Rapses, incarnated as Presley, blah, blah, blah. He soon discovers when the mummies introduce themselves as his guardians. He lives in San Francisco with his mother, is reluctant to accept the roles as Rapses. There's two occasions, blah, blah. He's freed of his role when Rapses' father, blah, blah. This is dumb. Prince Rapses. He was the heir to the Egyptian throne 3,500 years ago. What are you laughing at over there?
I just looked for it because I looked it up so I could see these boys. And the series description is animated series about a young boy who has the spirit of a pharaoh's son living inside him. So this superhero has not possessed the power of the pharaoh himself to fight crime, but his boy? His entombed boy?
The heir to the throne.
What? So the pharaoh isn't involved at all. The pharaoh's son died a long time ago and has now possessed a boy from the future.
Right.
That's freaking...
No, he's been reincarnated as this boy.
Oh, I thought...
It says his reincarnation.
Living... No. Who has the spirit of a pharaoh's son living inside of him. Oh, I guess that could be your reincarnation. Did you look at the episode titles?
That is exactly what reincarnation is.
Episode 1, rah, rah, rah. 2, sleepwalk like an Egyptian. 3, pack to the future.
These are good.
4, the gift of Geb.
Good.
Instead of the gift of Gab.
Oh, okay.
I was making fun. I do like that one. That was clever. Desert Chick, Hugh Nunn.
Nice.
Dead Man Walking, Goodbye Mr. Cheops, Body Slam, and Pause. They lost the creativity towards the end.
Let me read you a
Dog Bites Mummy, episode 12.
No.
Let me read you
they
about
really quit
these.
Well, when we do this episode, I don't know. All that happens is a dog bites a mummy. Well,
punch that in. I say
we hit that nose right on the. Wow.
Can I tell you about the mummies?
Please.
Jakal, the leader of the mummies, is in his transformed state. His armor resembles a falcon. It allows him to fly. His weapons are razor sharp, talons, claws, and a bow that can shoot out of flaming arrows. In ancient Egypt, Jakal was a hunter and had a wife named Tia and a newborn son named... Nobody cares about this.
Tia, nice.
Let me get to that. Meat and potatoes. Commonly uses hunting terms to talk to others and explain situations. What does that mean?
I don't know. I have no idea.
In Family Feud Part 2, new mummy in town, it was revealed that he had a brother named Arak. That's great. Wrath, the most intelligent of the mummies, also the only one to be able to cast spells. He turns into a snake, golden cobra, blah, blah, blah. He's the young prince's tutor. But these guys were all alive.
What do you mean?
When Rapses lived, they were alive. And then they died and got these powers and came back as mummies. Do you get it, Kevin?
I'm so lost. So, and I think it's because my subconscious told me that I want to watch this show. And if you tell me the show, then I'm not going to want to watch it.
Can I tell you the ending?
Well, what did you just hear me say?
He didn't, Kevin. That's
here we are. Once yet again, all three of us doing our individual podcasts.
No, I heard. But I know you, and I know you won't actually watch this show. Dude, you want me to tell you the finale of this show from 1997? These superhero mummies, would you like to know how their story ends?
Very briefly.
Joe gets many calls from others who have seen the mummies. He wants to expose them on his KKIM radio broadcast. He gets a call from Bob, who pleads with him to stop. In the end, after hearing Bix Bingsley's story, Joe is moved to Bingsley's plea and ends his search.
He just stops?
He just stops. Well, Show me the mummy.
They probably,
the finale of the show.
They probably set it up for season two, but Mummy Mania probably...
It came to an end.
Came to an end.
Zombie apocalypse happened right after.
Why doesn't Zombie Mania have a cool name? Like Zombie Mania?
Because mummies are doper.
Zombie Palooza would be cool.
We have time for one more story. So
I have a really... Do you have one that you're quite fond of?
I have one that's like, okay.
Okay. I've got this. Everyone stand back. I need room. What are the symptoms of an astral parasite? As time has gone on, it's only gotten worse. In the early stages, I could literally feel its energy wrapping around my crown. It would intrude and retract like tentacles that were wrapping around my head. It wasn't that I could feel it physically. I could feel it energetically. And its energy felt like dread. Over time, I have felt it dig deeper and deeper into my auric field. Literally, it has had this vice grip of death, and it would shrink smaller and smaller into my aura until it went into the middle of my brain. Sometime after this, I felt it start to cave in around my heart chakra. I'm not trying to write a science fiction here. This has really happened. It's like this awful feeling that I can feel around my heart space. It fluctuates. It typically is worse during the day and dies down around nighttime. Sometimes it feels like the entity dies off inside me, but then it starts up its antics all over again. Help?
Did you...
I have an answer.
Houston Tanner, seriously just bring us back to the astral plane?
No.
Wasn't it an astral parasite?
They're not in the astral... This person isn't in the astral plane.
Oh, no.
We're back, baby.
Well, I think that
Sam's
we have
got
already
bugs in his castle.
We've already solved the issue.
The issue?
The issue. Train yourself to build. Train yourself to craft.
Oh my gosh, dude!
Make swords that kill.
Sam's gonna tell
make
us
make guns
the same...
that shoot. And shoot this mf'er till he's dead. Shoot this parasite till he's dead.
It's actually,
only you have the power.
Sam, guess what?
There
no,
should be
check
some cross-reference there.
No, dude, check this out. Check this out. Okay? Astral plane. Here's Sam, freaking Bob the Builder, building away his big...
Oh, I'm way more confident than Bob the Builder. He's a scrub.
Oh, that's the boldest thing you've ever said in your whole life.
He almost gets foiled by... What's his... Turnip Head, whatever his name
the
is.
Scarecrow?
Oh, when was the last time you met Turnip Head?
And he's never foiled anything. Bob gets the better of that idiot every episode.
Yeah, but he almost doesn't.
No.
Yeah, and he would get the better of you. You don't know.
No, he wouldn't.
You've never been.
What's his name?
It's on the tip of my tongue.
Like
I watched it so much as a
Scooter?
Kid.
Scooter? Scat?
Ooh, that is dang close.
I can't remember.
He's just a lovable
no,
buffoon.
It's like... Fib. I don't know.
Fib?
Scoop.
No, I don't
Fib
know.
Fib the
no.
Scarecrow?
Scoop is
it
the...
Is Sid?
No.
No.
Scoop is the name of the cement thing.
Right.
And this dude's name is like... Crack or...
Spud. His name is Spud.
That's it.
And he's kind of a baller.
He's not a baller. He's the biggest scrub in the entire show.
Let's change his name.
The man's a living scarecrow.
Scrub. Scrub, not Spud.
I funny. Like him.
Scrub, not Spuddy. Okay, Sam, listen to me.
He's cracked himself up.
Okay, you...
He does that quite often.
It was a good reference, and I don't think either of you got it. But you built your astral world, okay? Now let's pretend that this astral parasite eats your astral world, because that's what they do. So everything that you think up, it gobbles it. Now what do you do?
I create faster.
No, you don't.
No.
You are underestimating the astral parasite.
Do you not remember?
He's got an appetite.
You have full power there, Kevin.
No, you don't.
Yes, you do.
You do, but he eats outside
wrong.
Of the
You're
realm.
Wrong.
You have
You're
this realm.
You're creating a situation where I cannot win, and so I cannot win.
No, you no.
Yeah, okay? Yeah.
You go to this sphere that is not where we are now, and you start building. This thing eats from the outside in to your sphere, but you still have resources here in this world.
I don't like this.
So now we can got to figure out how to take out the parasite from out here, because you are powerless in your astral world, because the parasite is just going to eat whatever
you
freaking
all your astral juice.
Yeah, you lose that game, but we still have us out here, Sam.
How are you going to affect something in the astral plane on the earthly plane?
I have an idea.
He has an idea.
And that is to
5 seconds ago he lost he admitted defeat, and now he's got a freaking idea.
No.
Listen to this guy.
I just feel like you kind of created a situation that was catered to my solution, to foil my solution.
Here's your solution. I'm God, I win.
Right. What you said literally earlier, it's like you're God.
In that sphere.
Right. You've encountered.
Which is where the leech is.
But you've encountered a being that sucks that power away.
It's not where
Sam.
It is.
Let me tell my thing.
Who cares?
You get with another person. I go up to Kevin. I say, Kevin, I need your help. We are going to find out how to transmit this thing from me to you. You're going to prepare yourself.
You are going to destroy it. I would never volunteer for this, ever.
If it doesn't work, I'll take it back.
No. That's how you're going to win me over? No.
Yes.
Kevin,
we're good friends, and in need. I'm dying.
Are you?
Yes.
And in your quest to live, you would sacrifice your friend Kevin, clearly.
This thing destroyed the foundation of what I had before I had a chance to defend it. You can build walls,
what
Kevin.
What was it? You can...
Don't laugh at me. You can build anything there!
It eats it.
Yeah, you kill
it. They call it an astral parasite not because it lives on the astral plane, but because it eats the astral plane.
It sucks your astral energy out of you.
Not because it exists there. If I build astral walls, it's just going to gobble them up.
This is the astral temple is not astral. It's ethereal.
Oh my gosh.
He is
what?
Right.
What?
It did say that. It's not actually astral.
This is all freaking Danish Pete's fault. I'm angry at him. He's just making up rules.
Which just throws my whole
temple inside an astral plane.
Out the window.
And then he wants you to make it.
Manure.
He wants you to make it.
Harsh manure.
Able to be touched. Which I don't know how you do that. I got the building part down, but he wants you to bring it into this world. I don't know.
Can we rewind a few minutes and go back to the moment where Houston asked me if I was particularly fond of my story that I had prepared,
and he
brought us back to the astral plane.
I didn't think about it as the astral. I thought the parasite thing was funny.
This has been Phantasmagoria.
Well, real fast, my boy Callie has some actual good advice. Focus on strengthening habits of everyday wellness. Diet, nutrition, exercise, friendships, curiosity, appreciation, enjoyment. Wellness in the world provides the beginnings of psychic self-defense.
Oh, barf.
No, that's real. A personal shield that one may take intentional steps strengthen. I said that wrong, but it doesn't matter. You get it. No. I like this. I think this is a nice little cherry on top of the end. This man says, given advice that whether you believe in this stuff or not, helps you, because if you're a non-believer, you're like, you're just depressed. He's like, well, then do these things and you won't be depressed, or you know.
Oh, here's how you solve your astral parasite problem. Good vibes, bro.
Lastly, in general, parasitic entities tend to dislike humor and playfulness. Laughter is good medicine.
Send your emails to magoriacast@gmail.com.
Phantasmacast for Instagram and TikTok. And I would like to add before we go that on the wiki, Spud is a living, in quotations, presumably mutated Australian British scarecrow. Presumably mutated?
We don't know.
I need to know what in the show implied that Spud was brought to life by radioactive energy.
This is the second time. This is the second time that we have visited Spookbuster Video today. They're sick of us.
What I'm getting from this is that at some point, Bob the Builder
just
said,
pick your dang movie. We need to come back next week.
We need to flesh out
pick
the
his
lore.
Movie, and then he busted through the front doors once again and demanded
I'll
a refund.
I'll take another.
Thank you guys for listening. We love you. Join the Discord. It's growing and it's really fun. It's really, really, really fun. I'm like shocked every week, like being able to talk. It's a good time. And life is only going to be as spooky as you make it. Bye-bye.